You know what I'm really excited about is today's call. You know, it seems like yesterday, time sure do have a way of flying by, but it seems like yesterday that I was a brand spanking new agent out in the field doing some production here and there, was happy with 2,500, but was never comfortable when I left the kitchen table, meaning I was always kind of worried. Like, I wanted to get out of the house when I made a sale as quickly as I could, which is the exact wrong thing you want to do. Like, I got, man, because mentally I'm thinking, I better get out of here. They might change their mind at any second. You know, and then I'm scared to death. I get home, and there's, like, the little red light flashing. It says I got a machine, got an answer. That tells you how long ago it was. There was actually an answering machine with a red light flashing that I would get. But I was scared. I would get home, and, man, it would be there, and I'd think, oh, gosh, who's canceling now? They didn't want it, the policy. And 3 or 4 years into it, I finally realized, you know what? This is a service business. This is a relationship business. If I'm not comfortable and confident when I leave the home that I have done everything I can for the people that I'm sitting in front of to make sure that they are comfortable, that they understand what they have, that the price fits, that I've really taken a load off of them, then I deserve to have it canceled. You know, and guys, obviously we are not in the business to receive interest-free loans from insurance companies. So, and I will say, too, that as we look down through the organization, very few people have persistency problems. And it doesn't surprise us, typically, for those that do have persistency problems because, to me, Casey, it's simple. It's how much do you care? You know, how much are you really pouring into people? And that, you know, again, it's a relationship business. It's a service business. It's all about relationships and consistently doing the right things. And the one question that you need to ask yourself is, how much do you care? And the reason that it never really surprises me or shocks me on who has persistency issues is because generally it shows up in other areas of their life as well. Right. You know, I think one of the, as you know, we all love college football here in the office, and one of the big stories this morning is about the coach from Arkansas that got fired. And if you're an Arkansas fan, I really hate to see that happen to you. But, you know, it's not like the guy that, it's not like it's kind of a surprise. Like, he's shown other problems in other parts of his life, and that's typically the same with people in business, that if you have persistency issues, you typically have commitment problems because you care too much about yourself and not nearly enough about other people. And that's the way it works in life. And it's a commitment problem, but it's really kind of a selfish problem that so many times people get caught up in going to the next appointment, going to the next one, going to the next one. And there's got to be that balance in how much time and energy and effort am I putting into the people that I'm sitting in front of right now, and how much do I really care about that family? And I tell people this all the time, that you don't really realize how important your job is until you've delivered one of those death benefit checks, or you've helped save someone's mortgage because they got on disability and you got to go to bat for them, and they, you know, now they're getting $1,800, $1,500 a month, so they're paying their mortgage and they can at least keep their house. And maybe it's a small thing to some people, but man, that never was a small thing to me. That's a huge thing. And, you know, I always encourage people, when you're sitting down and you're making your dials and you're at a phone team, don't look at that piece of paper as just an investment, as a dollar, as $4, as $26. Nothing irks me more than talking to people and they say things like, well, just, you know, they don't want to invest in it. Well, what if I don't make a sale? That's $26 I've wasted. Or that's $260 I've wasted. Let me tell you something. What happens if you don't make a sale and then that gets, you know, somebody crosses the yellow line the next day, he doesn't come home to his family? Quit being so selfish and think about what your true value is. Your value to the organization, your value to the company is how many people can you help? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks, if you're just in it for yourself, if you're just in it to make a quick buck and go make some sales, then you may as well quit now because it's going to catch up with you eventually and you're just not going to be successful. People always see through it, right? So the thing to me is, are you passionate about helping other people? And rarely do I find that the people that are truly passionate about you know, the value that they're adding at the kitchen table, do they really have persistency problems? Because it's not a phony baloney type thing. There's follow-up. There's high touch. I'm keeping my clients, you know, I'm keeping them on pace with everything that's going on with their business. I'm delivering policies, or I'm at least contacting the people, and I'm kind of gauging whether or not I need to deliver that policy, right? In case it really starts in the home, but, you know, the philosophy is, we're going to talk about some steps that each one of you can take, but the philosophy is very simple. Are you caring more about other people, or are you caring too much about yourself? And that's where it begins. So I challenge you, as you look at the leads, don't see a piece of paper that's an investment that you can lose $4 in, but see a family that something happens to them, you haven't done your job. You haven't done your job, and because of that, there's going to be a lot of grieving and a lot of really hard times for other people. And, you know, Ed, I say that we're not really taken, we're never really caught off guard by people that have persistency problems, because we see it in other phases of their business as well, right? It's how much value are you adding not only to clients that you're sitting with, but at ORL, how much value are you adding to people that are in your organization?
Or in your company? How much value are you adding to the company that you represent?
Right, right. Are you not showing up? You know, if Ed O'Rell is driving 3 hours to be somewhere to do a meeting and you aren't showing up, or there are commitment problems there, if you haven't signed up for national conference yet, I tell you, you probably got commitment problems.
Yep.
Are you always one of these people that's kind of waiting on the other shoe to drop? Guess what? You ain't going to be waiting much longer, because it's going to drop. Right? And it's going to continue to drop, and you're going to continue to keep looking, and you're going to continue to be broke until you fully commit to something that is bigger than you. And that's what we're looking for.
Brandon, so I'm really glad you started right there. And I want Ed, I know you're on the host code, Ed, I want you to kind of tee up on that a little bit too, because you really kind of start out. If it was me, I would have just dug into what I say at home and what I say when I leave. But you really started with the root of the problem. When there's persistence, and this is not meant to be a negative call at all. In fact, we have great persistency as a company, unbelievable persistency, but they say the best time to fix the roof is when the sun's shining. And so, good time to talk about it, but it does show up in other aspects of your business. But Ed, where do you see that problem kind of expose itself in other facets of business?
Well, thanks for having me. Ed O'Rell, direct to SFG down here in South Florida, and those leads will be gone. Oh, people to pass their insurance exam. No doubt. Oh, man. Anyway, it's embarrassing, but it's a good problem to have, right? We complain about leads down in South Florida. We don't complain about leads. We complain about the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the cool thing about this business. Cool. It depends on what perspective you are. It's a very honest business. And I say cool thing because if you don't have integrity in this game, it'll flush you out and spit you out within about 6 months. And the good news is, if you've been in the game a long time, like we have, we never doubt our integrity, because you can't be in this game without integrity. Casey, so I mean, maybe hopefully it makes you feel good, right? It's like, hey, I feel good. It's like you can't cheat this business. So if you're a cheat, it'll flush you out. So if you're in it for more than a day, you must be real. So that's the good news, or it's the bad news, depending on your character, right? Because you can't cheat it. You can't cheat your clients. You can't lie to them. You can't say the wrong thing, because it will all flush out. And you know, we see it in anomalies. Like, I'll see it in signs, like from a business perspective, like why are you within a couple of days of seeing a client, they're canceling. Like, how does that happen? How are you getting these? One of the things American Amicable does that I love, they send these policy correspondents. Well, I don't love them. Actually, I don't like them. But no, I'm not surprised. And if a client requests anything, they send a letter out. Client calls in and says, hey, I want to cancel. They send a letter to the client. They say, okay, well, we got to get it in writing. So they send a letter out to them, and the agent gets a letter. It's a very transparent company. A lot of carriers don't do that. We get emailed the letter from the agent, or we get it put in our policy correspondence queue on the website with them. So we have a week to save the case, but I'm looking at it saying, well, why is somebody 3 days after? How can this happen? Like, how are we – Like, how could they call the company so quickly? Like, why aren't they calling the agent? You see yellow and red flags kind of popping up all over the place, and it's something you're saying. It's always something that I'm doing, and then we can look back and kind of question. But when you talk about in the personal, we've had guys come through the deal right for that were just so desperate and write four or five deals and take their advance, and 30 days later, there's three out of four gone. I mean, but you look at them, and they're like they're middle age, and their life is just a disaster. They're on their fourth, you know, been divorced three times, trying to find their fourth wife, and they're just women are supporting them. In the guy's case, for example, we've seen these guys, and I'm just like, man, why do you keep doing that? Like, you can't cheap. Like, what do you think? This business is just like Mirage. You're going to fake it here, and it's going to work out. And so you got to look at the character stuff, like you said earlier, Casey, about relationships. Like, you just kind of look at the evidence of their life. Is their life a disaster? And they created it, okay? And then you look at the evidence in the business where why are we getting a cancellation letter 2 days after you saw them? Why is there so much buyer's remorse? What are you saying? Like, because I believe we say things either to put the business to bed or we say things to cancel. Like, so if they pop up and say, like, are you saying to them, like, I heard this once in an old script in a prior practice company, right? Like, I'm just a field underwriter here to get you approved. No, I'm not. I'm not a field underwriter. I'm your mortgage protection specialist, and I'm your protection specialist. Protect your retirement. Protect your house. Protect your income. You're my client for life. Like I was talking to a client from like 10 years ago earlier. I've seen her a couple times. We've adjusted her policies, and she's getting out more policy. I mean, she's taking out some old stuff. She wants to. Like, they call me from years and years ago because I'm not just a one-hit wonder. It's like, hey, I'm going to hold your hand through the process. You're going to call me. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get this application in. They're going to draft the first month within 2 days. You're covered as of today. We chose the 15th going forward. Policy comes in. It's going to come to me. Casey, I'm going to check it over, make sure everything is your name spelled right, everything looks good. I'm going to call you up. I'm going to try to deliver it. Okay, if I can't deliver it, I'll send it to you, but I'll make sure I can deliver it if you need me to deliver it. So I'm going to call you up when it comes in. Any questions you have, you call me. Don't call the company. You call me directly. I can take care of it for you. Okay, do you have any questions? Right. If they say anything like, well, can we cancel it anytime? I said, why do you ask, cancel it? What do you mean cancel? Well, can we cancel if we can't afford it? I don't want you to cancel. You can do whatever you want, but if you plan on canceling, let's not do anything. Here's what you can do. Is if you think you can't afford it, call me. We can always take it down. We can always lower it. So if you find you can't afford it, we got to drop it down a little bit.
Yep.
You know, we can always go down. Going up is tough because you got to requalify. So we get approved for 200. We got to drop it down to 100. We can always do that. I mean, you need the 200, but you call me and we'll work it out for you. Okay? And I nod my head, and then they nod. If it's a couple, you know, he nods, she nods, and we're all nodding. Okay. Now, let's talk about this healthcare card here. So I'm talking about the four R's. I'm putting it the ENR, just kind of putting it to bed. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing. Like, we all know in our heart, because you really, I mean, I always believe that we all know the truth when we're sitting there, right? And you mentioned it, Brandon. Like, we all, when we first start out in the business, we're just so happy to have made the sale, and we're so fired up about that advance coming in that we're like, I mean, the skid marks, right? We're pulling out and we're ripping the yard up. And, I mean, I'm doing donuts. I mean, I've done some, first couple of years, I did donuts probably. If they had any type of lawn left, I mean, I was tearing that up. But, you know, I was out of there. But you learn, you're like, how do we feel about an hour later? Oh, was that really the right thing to take their mailbox down on the way out? Maybe I should have given them a kiss on the cheek or something when I left. So you really realize that it's not, and if you run out of there, I heard this saying once, which I love, like, I want the policy to stay on the books when the scent of my cologne is worn off. Meaning, like, was there so much rapport that they bought me, and they don't even, like, they were just caught up in a swirl of my, you know, my Old Spice, and they just kind of lost track of what we actually did there. I kind of like them, you know, it's like it gets old because it wears off. And then what happens is that after it wears off, they say, well, what did we just do here? That guy was, he's sharp. He had some charisma, but honey, $180 a month for what? So you got to let the cologne fade. Say, here, I'm here for you. Is this going to be a problem? No. Okay. All right. Well, here's what's going to happen. and then you get the policy in. The more you touch them, Brandon, yep. the more you touch, you call them up, mm-hmm. you touch them 3, 4, 5 times in a week, the more solid it is. Okay, so I'm like, all right,
care.
I'm going to call you when it gets approved. So we all look in the e-file, we get a notice, or we get our daily emails, we look in the carrier websites and see it was approved and say, hey, congratulations, just got you approved, awesome, waiting on your husband's policy, I should get that. Hopefully that'll be approved in the next day or so. I'll get the policies about 3, 4 days later, I'll call you up. Okay, thanks for calling. So you're touching them. Then the policy comes in, got your policy, it looks good. Now I'm going to be out your way next Tuesday, I got a really packed schedule. You know, I could deliver it to you guys, or I can mail it to you. What do you prefer? Oh, no, just now here's where I gauge it. They say, oh, just no problem, just throw it in the mail. So if there's, like, no follow-up annuity business there, I don't think there's any – there's really no follow-up business there.
Right.
And they're okay with me mailing it, I'll mail it. But if they're like, oh, here's what I don't like. We're glad you called. Oh, you're glad I called. You're glad I called. What's up? Well, we were just thinking about – oh, you're thinking about it? Huh. Okay, I'll tell you what. Don't say any more. Say no more. I'll be out there in 2 hours.
That's the post sale. Think about it.
Say no more. Say no more. Think about it. Yeah, you know, we were talking to our brother's uncle and cousin's mother and sister's aunt was in insurance back in the 60s, and they think, oh, hey now. Okay. So here's the thing, guys. Don't ever, ever engage in dialogue to save a case on the phone. Here's the rule. If you sold it on the phone, you can save it on the phone. But don't think you could sell it in the home and save it on the phone. That's the quickest way to kill your business because that's selfish. The clients see that. They're like, they get that. So if they start saying, I'm glad you called, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, hold on. I got another call coming in real quick. I want to answer your questions. I'm going to be out that way tonight. I did have an opening at 9 or at midnight. I'll come by at 9. Okay. Give me between like 9 and 10 o'clock. Get right back in front of them.
Yeah.
Because you get that shows you care about them, okay, and then you answer their question in person, and typically it's nonsense like, you know, we saw this chart after the 20th year. What is this? That's if you're, like, terminally ill. I mean, it's a max they could charge you. You know,
yep.
I mean, it's neat because it protects you. They can't ever turn you down, but your rate's not going to go to that, okay? Okay, we were really worried about that. No problem. Anything else I could do for you? That smells great, Mary. Can I get a goodie bag, a doggy bag? I got a couple of people to see. Like, you can't be lazy and have good. Like, it takes work and it takes caring and it takes doing the right thing, and it takes a commitment to being in the business more than a weekend, right? Like, it's so great a business, and I see these. You call them takers, but what else do you call them? One night stands, man. Like, I'm here for a marriage, like, right? I want my clients to be married to me. I want my people I engage in business to be married to me. I don't want one night stands.
Mm.
You know, it's too good a deal to be a one night stand, man. It's mm-hmm. a great marriage, this business. I don't want to just. I'm not here to get that interest free loan, as you say, Brandon. Like, to get the $1,000 and give it back 2 weeks later and say, oh man, I made $1,000, gave back $1,000. What's the math on that? If you made $1,000 and you gave back $1,000, what's your value? Because Jim Rohn says it, which I love. The marketplace is going to pay you what you're worth, not what you think you're worth. Like, they're going to pay you what you deserve, not what you want.
Yep.
Meaning, if you got paid zero this week, it's because that's about what you're – that's not nice. Hey, the marketplace isn't nice. It just is what it is, right? Like, who said the marketplace was nice or fair? If you're Brian Pope, you're us, it's nice, right? You're us, it's nice. We make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, and we don't have to go trace – I mean, it's nice, but it's not nice – if I'm not doing the right thing early, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so if you're nice to them, you care about your people, the marketplace will be nice to you, and you want to give any money back. Well, I mean, chargeback is going to happen, but it's not going to be where it's a weekly epidemic for you, right? I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, because it's part of business. But if it's more than 20% of your business, you're not setting it up right. You're not following through. Never ever have the policy mailed to your client. Always mail to you. Always mail to you, okay? Never give them the company's direct contact info. I want them to call me. I don't ever want them calling the company and saying, yeah, we want to cancel, because here's how they handle it, Casey. Okay, cool, no problem. We'll send a letter out to you.
Yep.
You really think you call up, you call up UHL, Mutual of Omaha, American, and they, hey, this is Bob Smith, Social Security. Here's my, what's your policy number? I don't know. What's your social, sir? Okay, I see you right here. Yeah, cancel that thing out, will you? You think they come back and say, oh, but sir, but can we send out a specialist tomorrow?
Not at all. They just say,
oh, done. No problem. No problem, Mr. Smith. You'll have a letter confirming our conversation next week in the mail.
And your refund.
And your refund check. Would you like that wired, or would you like a familial heart check, sir?
We'll pull that directly out of the agency account and put it right in
here, sir. We'll pull that right out of his kid's college fund and wire it right to you. How about that, sir? Would that work for you? No, don't say we scare. They don't come back and they don't actually dig into your checking account. Won't scare anybody. They don't dig in. It's just against future commissions. So they're not going to go back in your bank account and take those funds out. So don't. I know we probably create some nightmares out here. What, they're going to come in the middle of the night? No, don't. Be careful. It's just they don't do that. But
right.
So it's we've got to care enough, and we got to not be lazy. Okay, we got to do the right thing. We got to tell them the truth. We got to prepare them because they don't like surprises. I didn't know you were drafting my account. Well, they didn't know because you didn't tell them. You say the first month is done electronically. It's going to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. You are covered as of today if you're approved. You got that? Then what day of the month going forward do you want it paid automatically? So it's very clear. So, again, it's going to debit the 180. It's going to happen today or tomorrow, the next day. You got that? You're covered. I'll be back with your policy or I'll call you. And there's no surprises. So don't leave that stuff out. Tell them everything.
Guys, there is a, and I'm loving everything you're saying. You're nailing everything. In fact, we have a the in-house appointment script, guys, step number 8 on the website. Step 8 is secure the sale. This is before you get into the referrals and the 4 R's. Secure the sale. There's a checklist, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things. This is 7 things that I know Brandon and I did. This is because we wrote this script, but these were 7 things that I did before I left ever. 7 little things that I mentioned. I talked about the issue time, the insurance company making the decision, how long that would take. I was preparing them for 3, 4, 5 weeks because I've had people wanting to cancel before, Brandon, because they thought the policy was going to be issued in a week, and it took a couple. Versus I could have told them it would take a few weeks, and I would call them when the policy gets approved, and it only takes 3 or 4 days. I'd rather them be pleasantly surprised than upset at me because they were expecting a lot sooner. So that's number 1. Number 2, delivery. I explained to them how that's going to work. I'm going to call you when I get an approval. We'll figure out what to do with the policy. Number 3, do talk about the draft date. Number 4, possibility of a phone interview. We don't get a lot of that stuff, but, possibility. It could be a possibility the insurance company calls you. Don't worry about it. If that happens, just answer the questions they ask you, but let me know if that happens. Number 4, possibility of declination or changes. I always wanted to set myself up just in case there was a decline or a change made. Please don't make me the bad guy here. It wasn't my decision. It's just sometimes these insurance companies, they'll do weird things. Just understand that my job is I'll come back out. I'll help you get something. We'll make sure that this is the best option. This is plan A. If something happens to plan A and we can't get it, we got a plan B lined up. This is going to be just as good, ready for you. So that's the other thing I say. Always leave a business card, phone number, make sure they got any of the required forms, that the receipt and all that stuff in the application. I always put my card, Brandon, on the refrigerator. I don't leave business cards with people. If I ever miss a sale, I don't leave business cards. Somebody says, well, let me see your business card. We just want to think about it. I never left business cards for stuff like that. And I think sometimes, Brandon, that's the worst thing. I'm getting off on a tangent here, but a new agent leaves a business card. Somebody calls them back. That's one of the worst things that could ever happen because we get in chase mode. But I leave business cards with clients and clients only. Once you're a client, you get my phone number, and I put that business card about eye level on their refrigerator door. I want them to see my name every time they open that fridge up, which hopefully is at least once a day. And so they got my phone number, so they're not tempted to call the carrier. They always call my phone, which is what I want them to do. The last thing I do in the home before I get to the 4 R's, Brandon, is I eliminate the possibility of them filling out another lead or responding to another notice, because there are other companies that market insurance. I want to help them understand I'm their guy now. If you get any more of these pieces of paper in the mail, don't fill them out because I'll have to call you again. Have you filled out any more of these forms, or did you just fill out this one? Yeah, I think we might have filled out another one the other day. Okay, if anybody calls, tell them you're taken care of. I'm locking the competition out if there is any competition. Okay? And that's the last thing I'll do when I leave the home. But a lot of it, Brandon, it all starts with the home. Ed talked about rapport. Rapport is big. I do want them to, you know, obviously that's an important part of our sales presentation, building rapport. Emotion is big, too. If you didn't dig the emotion up and really get that very clear, A, you probably didn't make a sale. But if you did make a sale without getting the emotion on the table very clear, you'll also have persistency problems because they don't realize it. All they see is the money coming out of their checking account, $100 a month, and they don't really remember what it was for unless you really spend a lot of time on emotion in the home. And you'll bring your close ratio up in the process. Right, yeah. Brandon?
You got it, buddy. You got it.
You were always good. You had incredible persistency, Brandon. Just policy staying on the books.
Well, and Ed
you always have homeowners calling you.
Ed mentioned something earlier that you know I wanted to hit on, where he said that he never had his clients call the insurance companies directly, and I was the same way. It's like there was always communication coming to me first, right? To me, it's if you're getting that, if they're going around you, if they're going straight to the insurance company, to me, it's just it feels like maybe they've been sold. There's still a trust issue, and if there's a trust issue, it's generally because they just don't know how much you care. What was the old saying we used to hear all the time, Casey? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What makes sales, guys, is if they like you, they trust you. If they trust you, they know that you're there to do something for them, and it's not just about you. We've seen people come in, Ed mentioned it, that they can be great salespeople, right? And by the end of the appointment, somebody's on the hook for a $500 a month policy and their mortgage is $700 a month. Does that sound like a good situation? Generally, no, unless it's like some type of investment program and you know, they know exactly what they're into. But let's use some common sense, I think, is where it begins, and let's get it in their budget. That's the biggest thing, and I think that in the appointment, that process where you separate yourself from the insurance company is mm-hmm. so important, because I'm wanting to put myself on their side of the table and let them know, hey, look, I'm not here to talk to you into spending any more money than you are comfortable spending, right? But I'm also not going to, you know, assume what you want for your family. So I'm going to show you all the options, but, hey, we're going to get it down in the best price possible. And, you know, if you at the end of the appointment, I want them to confirm to me that they agree with everything, that they're happy with everything they've done, the price looks good, everything's going to be great, and anything they're going to call me. And just like every other aspect of the business, I want to under-promise, over-deliver, right? You know, this policy could take as much as 4 to 6 weeks to get approved. They're a little backed up. So many people are applying. I'll keep you in the loop. I'm going to contact you anytime there's anything that we need. And in reality, it's probably going to take about a week. Unless I'm writing some kind of super duper fully underwritten term that may never get issued. So under promise, over deliver. And then I think, you know, some of the things that we're really getting into with the referral programs, it really kind of nails down the business. And it just, again, it's how much value are you adding, right? Ed mentioned that, hey, you know, people are attracted to people with charisma. Well, what are you charismatic about? Because that's going to come out if you're really passionate about helping other people. Right? That's what they're really going to be attracted about. And so are attracted to. And if you're really passionate about helping other people, then the four R's, it's just why would you not do those? Right? I'll tell you why you wouldn't do them. Because you're not a pro, one, and because you just don't give a rip, two. Yep. Like if you're just there to show them mortgage protection, I just care about them in this part of their lives. I only care about them this much, right? I don't really care enough to show them how we can help them with their retirement. I don't care enough to show them how we can save them potentially 85% on their prescription drugs, right? I only care about them. I don't care about the people closest to them, so I don't really need to get referrals from them. Ed mentioned the word. It's called takers, right? And what he means by takers is it's selfish people. People that are in and out, they don't give a rip about anything except the commission that's going to come. And generally, if they're still in the industry after 2 or 3 years, they're on their third or fourth opportunity, right?
Yep.
So, Casey, it's all about how much you care. And I think those action steps that you kind of went over that are on the website, that's it, right? You know, it's the fortune is in the follow-up. You've always said that. And it's mm-hmm. It's a high-touch business. It's a service business. It's a relationship business. How much are you communicating with your people? How much are you serving? Right.
Absolutely. I think the presentation as well. Like when I'm giving, and I'm not trying to brag here, but Brian, I had one of the largest premium per cases in the company for the first 2 years. We had this, so easily $130, $140 was my average premium over $80. And again, I'm not saying that we want all you guys out there pushing high premiums, but when you learn to value sell and build value in things, it does create a little higher premium. People will loosen up a little bit more because they perceive more value, and there is more value, and it helps better persistency. How many times have you been in somebody's home where they had a policy they were in love with about this little rider that the agent just obviously just really sold to them? And the rider was cool, but it wasn't. I mean, the agent did a great job of really explaining the value and painted a picture for the client, and that's big. When I'm explaining critical illness, when I'm explaining the death benefit, when I'm explaining any benefit, I get very involved in that. It is a very enthusiastic about it, and so there's value there. Same thing with what you're talking about, adding value. We got this new prescription discount card. Guys, this card saves anywhere from 10% to 85% on prescription medications for the people that we're sitting in front of. This prescription discount card we've talked about with you guys, and we're going to roll it out really this week. You'll see it on the website. You guys will be able to put in order for the cards. But if I'm sitting in somebody's home, and I used to have something like this a long time ago. It wasn't as good as this, Brandon, but it was just a member benefit. And that's what this will be about, a member benefit. But being able to sit in the home after you've made a sale, closed it down, and you've done your job, you've sold the value, they understand why they got it, the premium fits the budget, they love you, everything's working out good. I pull out this member benefit card, and I got it in front of me right now, and I just sell this thing. I talk about the benefits of this prescription card and what it's going to do and how much money it's going to save them. And they want it. And they think I'm getting ready to say it's going to cost an extra $20 a month or $5 a month. And I say, as a member, this is a free member benefit now that you're considered a policyholder. So that adds value to that policy. That separates that from everything, from anything else. And so they got another member a benefit from this policy and this card, and I show them how to use it. And now, here's what else I do, Brandon. Now that you're a member benefit, you also can sponsor up to three, and only there's a maximum of three that you can sponsor to receive this member benefits discount prescription card. Who are the first three people that would come to your mind that could really use a card like this to help them save money? Well, my brother Bob, he takes I know he takes some medications. He takes he's got cholesterol problems. I got a cousin named Phil. You know, he's got diabetes, and I get three referrals. Talk about what referral business does to persistency in closing the door, because when my policyholder not only gets a free member benefit in this card, and let's say it saves them $20 a month on their prescriptions, and it very easily could save them a lot more than that. Not only does that lock the sale, but now they refer me to their three buddies, or their three friends, their three family members. Referral business secures sales for us because they don't want to cancel now, because now I'm their agent, and I'm their cousin's agent, and I'm their daughter's agent, I'm their grandfather's agent, right? So this prescription drug card, Brandon, is going to be huge. We got other programs coming out here in a month or so with the ENRS program, but this is just going to be one of the member benefits that Symmetry Financial Group will be using to keep business on the books better and to create referrals, which we're talking easily could be, right? I'm expecting a minimum of three per policyholder. So if I got a husband and wife sitting there, I get six referrals.
Yep. So how can these guys, how can everybody out there on the conference call, how can they get a hold of these prescription cards?
Stay tuned to the website. We'll send you guys an email out as soon as the order form goes on the website. They're free. They're free cards. They do cost to print, We got a bulk discount rate on it. I think it's like 8 or 10 cents or something like that, Brandon, to do. So we'll have that available to you guys. You can buy them in bulk. Either we got them set, I think, right now at either 100 per pack, or for you agency leaders, if you want to buy more so you can have it at the office there, 500. I think it's like 10 bucks for 100. So, but to really kind of create value, you don't want to just get in the home, Brandon, and you don't want to use this card to start handing them out to everyone. Put a maximum on it. This is a maximum. Blame it on Symmetry Financial. We're going to tell you guys, we don't want you to give any more than 3 of these out per policyholder. Do not do it. Okay? There is a little bit of a kind of perceived value there, Brandon. When I'm in the home and I say, okay, maximum of 3, and that's what we're going to enforce, guys. Do not give more than 3 of these out per member. You devalue things when you just like give them away like that.
Hey,
here's
Jason,
Cynthia, hand them to all your friends and family.
What was the what was last year the average percentage of savings when people used this card?
Last year, the average, I believe, was 40. It was either 45% or 49%.
Right. I remember it being right there in the high 40s, and so there's great value in this. I mean, everyone, especially nowadays, they want to save money in any way that they can. Obviously, this is a great way to do it because, guys, we've just finished sitting in front of them filling out the applications. We know what medications they're taking, right? We know. And a lot of times, I was looking, kind of doing the research on it, a lot of times it's cheaper to use the discount card than it is to use a copay on insurance. There are people that maybe have a copay of $25 or even $10 on the drug with their insurance plan, their health insurance, and this, you can buy that, the drug, for $5, $6 for the whole prescription. So it really is a great, great benefit, and
there'll be situations, and the clients can go on this form. Not only does it's a perforated edge, so you get a card that you can just rip off, but it teaches them how to use the card. They can go on myrxprice.com. You can show them how to do this. I guarantee you, there'll be people, and do not sell based on this card. This is an after sale thing. This is not what makes the policy sell. Okay. That's against insurance regulations, period. So don't say, well, no, you got to buy this insurance policy to get this, and this is the main benefit. This is not the main benefit. This is an add-on at the end, member benefits. But I guarantee you, you guys are going to dig up some savings for people in the hundreds. I've seen cards like this before. Back in the day, when I first got my insurance license, the insurance company provided a member benefit. It was a discount prescription card. I don't even think it was as good a savings as this, but there were times in the home where I would come back to deliver the policy, and the homeowners would say, thank you so much. We're saving $200 a month just in prescriptions with that card. They were saving more in prescriptions than their policy cost them. It's a really, really cool program, and it's free to the members, so pretty awesome.